The Haydock Biblical Commentary, composed by English priest George Leo Haydock in 1811, compiled the commentary of the Church Fathers on Scripture in the style of St. Thomas Aquinas' Catena Aurea, or Golden Chain. In this series, we will present each day's daily Mass readings, followed by the commentary in the Haydock Bible. Friday, November 8th. First reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to chapter 4, verse 1. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, beloved. Haydock Commentary. Regarding Paul's words, be followers of me, etc., he means always distrust your own merits and always be eager to advance in perfection as I am. It is a happy thing when a pastor can thus in all sincerity and simplicity address his flock. He exhorts them to follow him in what he had taught them and in the model of a good life which he had set before them. He repeats to them with tears what he had formerly told them, that many walk and conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ, to Christ crucified, by abandoning themselves to the pleasures of a sensual life and glory in things they ought to be ashamed of. He hints at the disciples of Simon Magus or of the Jewish doctors. The Gospel from Luke 16, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another he said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently, for the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. Haydock Commentary. Venerable Bede says, "By this parable our Savior advises his disciples to accompany their penitential works with deeds of mercy to the poor." St. John Chrysostom says, "There is a certain erroneous opinion that obtains pretty generally amongst mankind, and which tends to increase crimes and to lessen good works, and this is the foolish persuasion that men are not accountable to anyone, and that we can dispose as we please of the things in our possession. Whereas we are here informed that we are only dispensers of another's property, that is, God's." Theophylactus says, "When therefore we employ it not according to the will of our master, but fritter and squander it away in pleasure and in the gratification of our passions, we are beyond all doubt unjust stewards." Haydock adds, "And a strict account will be required of what we have thus dissipated by our common lord and master. If then we are only stewards of that which we possess, let us cast from our minds that mean superciliousness and pride which the outward splendor of riches is so apt to inspire, and let us put on the humility, the modesty of stewards, knowing well that to whom much is given, much will be required. Abundance of riches makes not a man great, but the dispensing them according to the will and intention of his employer." The intention of this parable is to show what use each one ought to make of the goods which God has committed to his charge. In the three former parables, addressing to the murmuring scribes and Pharisees, our Savior shows with what goodness he seeks the salvation and conversion of a sinner. In this one, he teaches how the sinner, when converted, ought to correspond to his vocation and preserve with great care the inestimable blessing of innocence. The parable puts us in mind that, let men be ever so rich or powerful in this world, God is still their master. They are his servants, and must be accountable to him how they have managed his gifts and honors, that is, all things they have had in this world. Regarding verse 2, "What is this I hear about you?" etc., St. Thomas Aquinas says, "Such are the words which our Lord daily addresses to us. We daily see persons equally healthy and likely to live as ourselves, suddenly summoned by death, to give an account of their stewardship. Happy summons to the faithful servant, who has reason to hope in his faithful administration. Not so to the unfaithful steward, whose pursuits are earthly. Death to him is terrible indeed, and his exit is filled with sorrow." All thunder-stricken at these words, "Now thou canst be steward no longer," he says within himself, "What shall I do?" Regarding verse 8, "And the Lord commended that dishonest steward," etc., St. Thomas Aquinas says, "By this we are given to understand that if the Lord of this unjust steward could commend him for his worldly prudence, though it were an overt act of injustice, how much more will the Almighty be pleased with those who, obedient to his command, seek to redeem their sins by alms deeds? Give alms of thy substance," says holy Tobias to his son, "and turn not thy face from any poor person, for so it shall come to pass that the face of the Lord shall not be turned from thee. According to thy abilities be merciful. If thou hast much, give abundantly. If thou hast little, take care even of that little, to bestow willingly a little. For thus thou storest up to thyself a good reward for the day of necessity. For alms deliver from sin and from death, and will not suffer the soul to go into darkness." Haydock adds, "The children of this world are more prudent and circumspect as to what regards their temporal concerns than they who profess themselves servants of God are about the concerns of eternity. The Master commended the unjust steward not for his cheating and injustice, but for his contrivances in favor of himself. The children of this generation are more prudent in their concerns of this life. They apply themselves with greater care and pains in their temporal affairs than the children of light whom God has favored with the light of faith do to gain heaven."